Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at College Park. So glad that you are here today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We have a way, we like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, and check the correct boxes. Then we ask you to send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to the last person on the pew, if you could send it back down to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Several announcements I'll draw your attention to. The air condition is working, but it's so humid outside, it's having a hard time catching up, but it is working. A few announcements listed there under upcoming events, just draw your attention to. The 1,000 Gifts Bible Study will resume this week. Also, preschool day camp is happening again this Tuesday. Let's see, what else draw your attention to? Fielder's Choice this Wednesday. Other things are listed there, including the Dan River trip for the youth. Let's see, what else? Grief Support is going to be meeting next Sunday at 3. Krista wanted me to make you aware of that. And Roger Jones has an announcement. You've got it. Big Rog.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Thank you, Big Rog. It was a great week. We had a good team that worked hard. A lot of people back here praying for, supporting the team through financial giving and through food and other means and encouragement. So very thankful to everyone who made this week possible. Let's see, are there any other? We are having children's time, reminding for the kids to come down right after first hymn. All the kids through sixth grade are welcome to come down and join us right down to my left. Other things are listed there. Opportunities for the week. Once you just take a little bit of time and see all the things that are happening this week and this summer here at College Park. We want to say a special welcome to our guests now. We appreciate the information that you just gave us on the pew pad a moment ago. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles that would like to give something to you. If you are a guest, just right where you're sitting, just raise your hand, and the ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you're going to find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. Has God ever proven to you on many occasions that he is still in charge. Well, he did that for me this week. It rained, when Big Raj says it rained, that's it rained every day, buckets of water. You know, there was, this week was not the week to build a house. But God had something different in mind for our church this week. Even though we didn't understand it, even though we couldn't put all the pieces together, our church remained faithful and sent a team to work this week. And we did work that only He had in mind. He put it together, but we had to trust Him. We had to put Him first for us to recognize that. That's what we need to do every day, not just with a mission project, but in your work life, in your family life. We have to put Him first and to seek out His ways, to understand Him first. Then all the other things will make sense. That's the challenge for us as we move forward today. Are we putting Him first? That's what worship is. We put Him first. As we come to worship today, are you have distractions? Are there things on your heart and your mind that would keep you from putting Him first during this hour of worship? My prayer is that we would focus, give all of our energy and our passion to Him right now. Let us prepare for worship.
And that's why we sing to you. Lord, we come this morning bringing our praises, not because life is easy, not because everything is going perfectly, not because we're supposed to, but because you are God, and you love us, and you care for us, and you desire our hearts. And so, Lord, as we come to worship this morning, Lord, remove the distractions. Help us to focus our hearts on you. Lord, help us to know your presence because we know that you are here with us. And Lord, as we sing, as we pray, as we listen, Lord, let it be your voice this morning that we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory now. 'Tis not Father's pleasure. Good morning. How are you today? Well, we're going to talk about fruit. Who here loves fruit? Fruit tastes good, right?
Bye.
It all. But fruit not only tastes good, it's good for you. Take this orange, for instance. It's got vitamin C in it. It helps you with running allergies, colds. Huh? Yeah. Well, this one is good for you even though it's big. So you got the red apple too, and I don't have a list of what the red apple prevents, but I've always heard an apple day keeps the doctor away. Have you ever heard of that? Well, our Bible study is about fruit, but not only these fruits, not these fruits. We're talking about a special kind of fruit. Yes, sir. Fruit of the Spirit. And we're talking about the ways when you act and ask Jesus in your heart and he asks to forgive you of your sins. And you promise, when you do that, you promise to be his follower. But when we do that, God fills our heart with a special kind of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when you see an apple tree, what do you expect to see on that apple?
Apple,
of course. It's the same way when you see a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit, you expect to see the fruit of the Spirit coming out. Does anybody know what the fruit of the Spirit is?
Thank you, David, for that message. We appreciate it. Oh, we'll be reading from God's Word today, Psalm 85, and so I will guide us through that reading. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned away from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what the Lord God says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. His righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. My heart is so warmed by the words of our choir. Thank you, choir and Mary. Would you please join us in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, within these walls, let us listen. Within these walls, let us pray. And help us to remember there are people hurting, just as our choir has reminded us today, beyond these walls. people who do not know your light and do not know the treasure that we carry within or your saving grace, do not know the hope that resides inside of us. Oh, Father, help us to be bearers of that light and bearers of that hope to people who are outside these wonderful walls. Thank you for the comfort we find in each other, especially in times of loss, such as we have recently experienced in our church family. As we lose our dear precious members and send them on their way to heaven, as you gather them into your arms, we rest assured that we will see them again as we leave from these walls to the walls of your kingdom. So, Father, we thank you for the treasure that is ours, the comfort we find here, and all that we have to give outside of this place. Father, we just come today and ask that you help us to not just sing your praises today, not just listen for your voice today, not just hear your word today, but we pray that you would help us to understand and grasp the joy and fulfillment and necessity of listening to your voice every day, of praying to you and talking with you every day and reading your word and walking close to you. Forgive us for the time that we've lost, those many times when you wanted to call us into communion with you, but we were too busy and torn by the distraction of other voices and of our busy schedules. Father, we can start again and anew today and resolve and covenant with you to seek to listen to your voice and watch for your hand and to do your will as we find it and discover it and to be servants called by you. Father, we pray that you would descend upon this congregation in a special way in the weeks and days and years to come, continuing to use this congregation for your glory and even ways beyond what we can ever imagine, that we may reach others for Christ. And now thank you for this time when we celebrate our relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the freedom that is ours, that soul freedom released from the chains that bind us to insecurities and that bind us to our fears or confusion. Release that soul freedom, that path to you. Thank you for the freedom in Christ that we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mary just says to me, "That was fun." And I have to agree. I was sitting back there, standing back there as we were singing, and I leaned over and I said, "Just listen to how this song's going to come to life when we get to the chorus." Every time I've heard that song, the church just fills up, and you can just feel the excitement. And that is a good thing to follow when you come to this point, because we are about to have our prayer of thanksgiving. And after that type of enjoyment and fun, it is a good way to transition. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we have gathered here this morning to worship. As we come to worship, it is not about who we know, and it's not about what we have. It's not about our clothes and even how we look. As we gather here today, we all come from different paths of life, some filled with stress about our jobs or brokenness in our homes. Maybe we are lonely and afraid, have depression, hunger, or even anxiety. But we all have our thoughts, our hopes, and our feelings of what we want out of worship this morning. But Psalm 55, verse 8 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord." Worship is not about what we can receive, but what we have to give. Allow us to give our stress, our heartache, our fears, our loneliness, and our anxieties to you this morning that dominate our focus, so that we may see the love and the joy, the peace and goodness that you have to offer, not just to us, but through us to those around us. We are aware of all that you do for us and for all that you have given to us. Take now these gifts and our offerings as our gift of gratitude. Give us the wisdom and guide us to use these gifts to further glorify and worship you. For it is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
For those that were here yesterday for Miss Lawrence's funeral, you know what the text is for today. If not, you can look in the bulletin, but I want to give you a heads up. This was actually the text, if you follow the Revised Common Lectionary, which we try to do, because it's a systematic way to kind of hit the key passages of Scripture over a three-year period. So that's kind of an explanation of kind of how we progress with worship planning, except during special seasons and emphases. But Galatians 5 was actually the Revised Common Lectionary text for last Sunday. But last Sunday was our commissioning, and I didn't want to skip over this one, so we're just going to drag behind for a couple of weeks, and then we'll catch up as we go. But Galatians chapter 5 is a wonderful passage of Scripture, and I want to read it to you. We're going to read verse 1, and then we'll skip down to verse 13 and finish out the chapter from there. Verse 1, Galatians 5 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Then to verse 13, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." Do you get a theme here? It's about freedom. It's freedom from the law. It's free to know Christ in all of his glory. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. There is a cool new title for ministers in churches these days. There's a select group that are called ministers of spiritual formation, or spiritual formation minister. In most churches, if they were really honest, the church members have no idea really what the minister that has that title is supposed to do. And the people that hold that title probably, if they were honest, really have no idea exactly what they're supposed to do either. They have a general idea, and we as Baptists have set them free from the law by giving them job descriptions. So therefore, they know exactly what it is they're supposed to do, at least some of the things they're supposed to do. I suppose that spiritual formation has something to do with the idea of practicing spiritual disciplines. And you say, what are those? Spiritual disciplines would include such things as prayer and fasting and study of God's word, tithing, worshiping corporately and privately, those kind of things. And one thing I do know is that we all need time and a means by which to deepen our relationship with God, thereby deepening our relationship with one another. We need to set aside time and make it a priority, not the leftover. Spiritual formation, discipline. Disciplining ourselves so that change comes about as we become more like Christ. Richard Foster is a well-known Christian author, has written some books on prayer and other things. He has a book called Celebration of Discipline, which I highly recommend. It gets a little deep at times. You may have to read a page over, you know, when you get to the bottom, you go, what did I just read, and go back. But it's a wonderful read. It's called Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. He's written other books as well. And one of his quotes that I really like from one of his books says, our world is hungry for genuinely changed people. Have you found that to be true? Our world is hungry for genuinely changed people. Russian author Leo Tolstoy, many of you may recognize him as the one who wrote the story War and Peace. He, a Russian author, but he said something very insightful. He wrote, everybody thinks of changing humanity, and nobody thinks of changing himself. Everybody thinks of changing humanity, and nobody thinks of changing himself. Have you heard it? What we need is to change the world. Yes. How do we do that? We start right here. We change ourselves. We allow God through His Spirit to transform us. And then that is spilled over into the lives of others. We use the Spirit of God, the fruits of the Spirit that are exhibited in our life, bring about change not only in ourselves, but those that we interact with. We see it every day. We saw it this past week. We who had an opportunity to go to Grifton saw spiritual formation in a slightly different vein. You see, when I left on the trip, I was pondering this text. I was kind of letting it ruminate through the week, and I was kind of working out the sermon in my mind, and it didn't turn out anything like I started, you know. And I thought a lot about spiritual formation as I've watched people this week. It's been fascinating. It really has. And if I had a goal, if I had to name a goal or an object for a congregation's journey of faith, then I would suggest going back to this passage. Hearing the truth, revisiting what the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches. Clearly, most Christians would confess that heaven, salvation, those type of things are part of our goal as a Christian life. But I would encourage us not to become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. So while we're here on this earth, let's look at how we can be transformed and affect, how we can truly change the world one person at a time. And I believe Paul was spot on, obviously. He was spot on. The fruit of the Spirit. What is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, which is also translated generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says, there is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then he goes on to elaborate on that. And I think this is the worthy goal. This is the object of the Christian life that as we live it now. If you're like me, your life may not always reflect love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You may not feel it some days. You may not feel it. Especially when it's pouring rain. Old Testament kind of pouring rain. And you know you're headed out to install a ramp. Are you kidding me? Love, joy, peace, patience. Okay. Or when those mattresses actually reek. I mean, they stink. But you know that Billy needs those things to be moved, that he needs this to be organized, that all of these, they need love, joy, peace, patience. Yes, Lord. Or when God places a person, any person, in our path, and we're too focused on the task to listen. We need to back up, take a step back. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Hear those words echo. Granted, we all have our sets of issues, our problems. You have yours, I have mine. Unfortunately, as members of the body of Christ, we sometimes ignore those. We put our game face on. People ask us how we're doing. We say, fine. and do not give them the opportunity to minister to us, because that's really what it is, people. We should be ministers not only to the world, but to one another. And deep in the dark night of our soul, we know that we need more of God than we ever managed to shoehorn into our lives. We know that. We realize that. And we need reserves in order to be there for one another. Thus, we need the disciplines of the spirit and the spiritual life, just like we need the four major food groups to make us strong physically. We need the spiritual fruit to help us to grow spiritually. Spiritual formation is all about spiritual disciplines. And it's only by disciplining ourselves. And understand, the word disciple and discipline, it's the same root word. Okay, the disciplines are necessary to be a good disciple. And to be a good disciple is not a list of to-do things. Being a good disciple is walking every day, walking in the Spirit, step by step in the Spirit, following Christ, following in His footsteps, not just checking off to-do things. Living by His Spirit. Only by disciplining ourselves can we assure ourselves the overwhelming portion of God's grace that's so necessary to work with and among. Another translation of this passage refers to stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people. What kind of people do we minister with? Imperfect people. But we still minister. Several years ago, our minister of music at the time, and I'm not going to tell you which one because I'm not going to allow you to put it in that finer category. Our minister of music at the time tried to teach us during worship service a new and beautiful hymn. And it was gorgeous. But it was new. We'd never done that before. We'd never sung that song before. And as we left from worship that morning, one of our dear saints came out of church and stomped her foot, and I heard her say to a friend, "I don't come to church to learn anything." I, believe it or not, I held my tongue. I had scars on it when I got home, but if I had said something, probably what I would have said is, "Ma'am, may you count your objective for coming to church as a total success then." You know, sometimes, yeah, we are imperfect. Yes, we are. But we're all imperfect, amen? And we love each other, we encourage each other, lovingly correct one another along the way sometimes. And there's moments like that. There's moments of grace, there's moments of chance, there's moments of serendipity that help us move on toward God and the relationships that believers claim at our baptism as people of God's reign. And those are glorious moments. Sometimes events occur that remind us of why we do what we do. In Grifton this week, we had many such occasions. We saw positive examples of people who do ministry. And we had the privilege of partnering with them. We saw people on Monday morning lined up at the gate because there was a food giveaway that was getting ready to start. We saw them lined up at the gate. And then as they began to come in to get food, it started, guess what? Raining again. Yes, it was raining again. And they were getting absolutely drenched, but they were there to get food to provide for their family. On Tuesday, in flash flood conditions. And when I say flash flood, I've never seen, there was a section of guttering on the side of one of Billy's buildings that was about from here to over there. It was large capacity guttering. It had large capacity downspouts. The water was shooting out of the downspouts like it was coming out of a hydrant. And it still couldn't keep up. It was coming over the gutters. It looked like Niagara Falls out there. And there were people that were getting out of their cars in that kind of flooding condition to go into the thrift sale because they knew that Billy would sell them what they needed for their family at a great price, something that they could afford. And the people that worked with those that were coming who were desperate in need, the people, that they exhibited grace, love, peace, patience, kindness, good, all of those things. They demonstrated that. It was not a sense of haughtiness or pride or I'm better than you. It was a humble, beautiful spirit that was exhibited. It touched my heart. And I saw in the people from College Park that went with us, I saw in those who dared to go the same kind of qualities. And it touched me. It warmed me. Disciples growing in their faith as we exercise the spiritual disciplines in sometimes difficult but always glorious conditions. This week's experience made me realize once again that even when life is challenging, I am surrounded by a group of dedicated believers. Our church folk are people who want to live out a life that gives glory to Jesus Christ. And that encourages me. They give and they live faith. They take Paul's guidance to heart when they follow Paul's counsel to the church at Galatia when he said, "Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another." Serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. May it be so with all of us. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the chance to be your children. God, what an awesome privilege it is. Father, we thank you for your love that surrounds us, that comforts us, that lifts us up from our dark times. We thank you for this group of believers that we gather with week after week. Help us never to take one another for granted, but always to love and encourage each other. God, we pray that that love would spill out of us, all the fruits that we've talked about this morning, that those would be so clear to people who are not believers, that they would want to know and understand who we are and why we are that way. God, help us to be ready. Be ready that as we exhibit these qualities that others will want to know you. Help us to be ready to tell them. Tell them about the joy that we have in Jesus Christ, about the freedom that we have, about the love that's expressed on Calvary and the resurrection. God, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping here today and lifting your name up in praise and giving you thanks for all that you've done for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not know this Jesus of which I speak, the invitation is for you. An invitation to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to experience the kind of love and unconditional acceptance that he offers. That's my prayer for you this morning. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing, and I'll be standing here at the front. I'd be glad for you to come, and I'd be glad to share with you about how you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd rather not come down this morning, call me this week. Stop by at the end of the service. We'll make an appointment to get together and talk about it. If you're here and you are a believer, but you say, "Raymond, I'm really not living out the fruit of the Spirit like I should be. I know that's a problem in my life." Talk with God right where you are. I'll be glad to speak with you, pray with you. But get that settled this morning. Leave from here knowing how much he loves you and how much he wants to live through you. If you're here and you say, I love this church, I want to be a part of it through membership, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to be serious with God. This is your opportunity to really be serious with God as we stand and sing together. after our benediction response, I encourage you, greet one another, speak and encourage one another as you go from this place. Let's pray together. Precious Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and who you've created us to be. Father, as we go, allow us to experience the freedom in Christ that we enjoy. Father, help us to live a life that would give glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.